In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us thank and pray. Eternal God, our dear Heavenly Father, we come before your holy and undying word with that prayer that you would still our minds from our everyday life that we live, that for a moment we can pause from troubles, from difficulties, and from trials, and to be reminded how gracious and merciful you have been unto us. We pray this morning, dear Father, that the words that you will grant unto us, that we would own them in our hearts and keep them and take that portion for ourselves that we need. We have many blessings that you have granted into our lives, our families, our spouses, children, our homes, and our daily bread. For all this, we wish to raise our humble thanks unto thee, that you have remembered us, even though we are sinful, sinful by nature, but yet we can dwell in this kingdom. Dear Father, we wish to thank you that you have lowered this kingdom into this evil and bad world, where we can take refuge from everything that is not of you. Above all, this morning, we wish to thank you for thy only begotten Son, who you gave to die for our behalf. We deserve death for our thoughts, our deeds, and even our speech. But yet, the merciful Heavenly Father, you have not forgotten us. You have remembered that we need your help, and that we need to depend on you. We ask this morning, we pray unto thee, that you would grant words that we need for this day, for this moment, for food for our souls. All these we ask in the name of thy dear Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our text, I will read a portion set aside for this Sunday, which is found in the Gospel of John in its 15th chapter, the first 10 verses. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, and it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen. This portion that we heard was just a small portion of a sermon that Jesus gave to his disciples. This was shortly before he was crucified. So he had told the disciples many times earlier that he will be crucified and he will leave from their midst for a while. And as we remember, the disciples, they did not understand what that meant. And many times we can reflect back on the suffering and crucifixion of Jesus. And in our minds, we might say that we would have understood what Jesus said prior to his crucifixion. But when we take into account that the disciples did not have the New Testament to read and to believe the things that they read, Jesus was speaking about something that had not yet happened. So I'm sure that also we would be just as lost and fearful as the disciples were during that time. So this was part of that, I don't know if you can call it a farewell sermon to his disciples that Jesus kept to them. And they were afraid, and they kept asking Jesus that what does it mean that you are going away? And then when Jesus said that, where I go, you cannot come now. So they were even questioning that what do you mean that we can't come there with you? Later on, they realized, through eyes of faith, they realized that what Jesus said was true, but at this time they did not. So they, of course, they were afraid. They doubted. And in our walk of faith, I'm sure we have had those days also. even though we know through faith, we understand that we are on our way to heaven. But there are days and moments that you wonder when something bad has happened, or maybe we have done something that has greatly offended the Spirit of God that lives in us. We wonder that, do we have enough? Do we have enough faith to sustain and to be part of that group that will hear the voice the day when everyone is gathered from here? That come, ye the blessed of my Father. That are we going to be? Do we hear that for ourselves? Our prayer is that we do. And when we continue to receive nourishment from the kingdom of God and put our sins away as they attach, Jesus has promised, He has promised us that we will hear that sound, those words, and we will be taken to heaven. So, in this text that we read, Jesus knows the hearts of His disciples, and He knows that they are fearful. So He wants to encourage them, and He painted them a picture in a way that they were able to understand. They're able to relate to this parable or these pictures that Jesus put before them. And He used, as He oftentimes does, He took things from the environment, real life objects, and He created a story that would be more easy to understand. And many times if you read the teachings that Jesus taught, not only His disciples, but those on the outside of God's kingdom, He used objects that God had created. And God is one, even though it is God as the Father, God as the Son, and God as the Holy Spirit. They are all yet one. So Jesus knew exactly that why He would use this picture of a vine tree to describe God's kingdom and the believers that live therein. The disciples knew the vine tree. They lived in Israel, and on the slopes and hills of that part of the country, they were familiar with that vine tree. But it also, it's not only a picture to the disciples that Jesus had there in His time, but also it creates a clearer, perhaps, a picture to us that are believing today. That we need this instruction and these pictures as much as the children of God did during the time of Jesus. This is not the only time when Jesus used that vine as a picture. There is a portion in the Old Testament also where the prophet Isaiah, he speaks in the fifth verse, or fifth chapter, verse 7, he also spoke he used this vine and a vineyard as a picture to the people of his time, which was hundreds and hundreds of years prior to the birth of Jesus. And it says that for the vineyard of the Lord of the host is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. So already from the Old Testament time, this picture of a living tree creates a picture of kingdom of God, and how a healthy tree is a picture of this congregation that is here in Cocado, in the congregations in Arizona, Alaska, and everywhere in between, and wherever they are in the world, we can look at those congregations as a living and healthy tree. So right before our text, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They are in the upper room, if you remember, where they had a meal, and Jesus washed their feet, and they had been there for quite some time. And at the very end of the 14th chapter, it says, what Jesus says, "Arise, let us go hence." Or, "Arise and let us leave from here," from that room. And many of you would be able to say where Jesus left, where he was going to from that upper room right before his arrest. He was going to go to the garden to pray. So now they have left. They're leaving their room. And as they're walking toward that place where Jesus prayed and where he was arrested, along that way, Jesus spoke these words that we read this morning. He continued to remind the disciples to remain in him, even though he will leave from their midst. So as I thought of this portion, I thought of Jesus and the disciples leaving the upper room and started walking. And while they are walking, Jesus speaks to them, instructs them, that "I am the true vine." And maybe he saw or walked by a vine tree. Maybe took a branch off of it, or maybe pointed to it and said, "I am that vine tree." So he took the things from nature and yet was able to create a picture to them how children of God, what their relation is to the kingdom of God. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman." Husbandman, or however, maybe you guys know how to say it better than I do. Maybe I pronounce it wrong. It is somebody who is plowing or cultivating the land where these vine trees are growing, or in a garden. It is somebody who cares for this vineyard where these vines grow. God has made our heart receptive to God's, to His Word. And we can certainly say that when Jesus speaks these words, our carnal mind cannot understand or get the true connection or to see the true picture of the branches and the tree. But it is helpful with these pictures. But through faith, we certainly can understand and we consider it as truth that these branches are us that are here. Every member of God's kingdom is one branch in that tree. And as this husbandman who cares and cultivates that land in the vineyard, that land is receptive to the seed that was planted into it. We remember from the Gospels the parable of the four soils that was spread onto different kinds of grounds. And there was some that gave no fruit in return. Some that sprouted just for a short moment, but then died. Some that just bounced right off of it. But there was one soil that was receptive, was eager to take that seed and to begin to grow it. So when we, as believers today, in our everyday life, at work, at home, whoever we meet, when the matters of living faith comes to question, we wish to spread this word, God's word, this living seed, and hopefully and pray that it has growth. And when it does not, I think we very easily think that there was something wrong with our words, something that we didn't say that we should have said, and so on. But God gives the increase, and all that we have to do is to be diligent and not speak contrary to the Word of God. The heart that our seed that we sow, the Word of God that is spoken unto those on the outside, and even those on the inside of the kingdom of God, God prepares and continues to prepare and to care for the soil of our hearts and those that are on the outside of God's kingdom. One of our brothers, Kurt, just recently came back from Ecuador, and he mentioned that God, that the work was relatively easy because God had prepared the hearts in the localities that they went to. And I'm sure we must say that if all the doing was our doing, they would yield no growth at all. Also, one of the brothers went to Africa a while back and met up there with another speaker brother from Africa. I believe this was in Togo. And as they were walking from one place of service to another place, the two of them were walking and they stopped. I don't know if it was because of the heat or to rest or whatever it was, but they stopped for a moment and they saw this young boy who was shepherding sheep. And one of the brothers noticed that the boy was looking at them, and he said that hey, you little boy, come here for a little bit. So he came up to them and he said that, let me tell you about a real shepherd. And then he began to speak of how Jesus, the shepherd of all shepherds, the shepherd of us believing today, how he has taken care of him and so forth. And this young boy, he wanted to believe. So they preached him the forgiveness of sins. And then when they came home, many years later, the same brother went from here again to Togo for a mission trip. And that boy was still there attending services, wishing to believe. And again, using very simple, real life objects that this young boy was able to relate to, how he cared for that flock, the flock that was his responsibility, that every one of them would have to get returned home, that not one would be lost. And then when we think of Jesus taking care of us, that everyone that God has given unto Him needs to be taken home again. He was able to understand it. And through faith, He was able to see that He also needed a shepherd. If we would not have a shepherd in our lives, we would depend on our own wisdom and the wisdom of man. And the proverb says that, lean not on your own understanding, because it is faulty. It is not dependable. If we would depend on ourselves, our limited and little mind, where would we be? We would be lost. We would be searching for the truth until we found it. We cannot trust our own minds or the mind of man for eternal life. But we need to depend on the Word of God. And the Word of God is teaching us and guiding us in every aspect of our lives. And when God is our guide, we are certainly in good hands. We are in good care. And we also know that God would never want us, He would never steer and guide us the wrong path. And the only way that we would stay on the right path is to continue to go back to the very root, to the very basics that are written in this holy book, the Bible. It will never change. The teaching will never change. Men will change. Their minds will change. But the Word of God will not change. This vine tree and the vineyard where these vine trees are in, they are pictured to us as God's kingdom. There are many different sizes of branches, many different kinds. They look different. And all these branches, those are the members that are in God's kingdom. And when we are attached to this tree, when we receive nutrition from the stem, from that tree, we will remain in God's kingdom. But if we forsake or reject the source where our eternal soul depends on, then, as the Scripture says here, that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges. I don't know how to say that word. Purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So when we depend on the Word of God to be the light and the guiding line to our own lives, we will remain in that tree, just like Jesus says here. That He will take care and keep pruning that branch and that leaf so that they may even bring forth even more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except abide in me. God certainly knows how frail and weak and faulty we are. And if we would continue to read the words of Jesus, now when He had reached the garden where He was going to be arrested, Jesus went there to pray. He prayed for Himself, but He also prayed for the ones that are going to be left behind. He prayed for us, for the children of God in His day, and the children of God today. God remembers you. He knows your trials. He knows your difficulties. He also knows your joys. God knows everything about you. So when Jesus gets to his place, he prays for his disciples and he prays for us. And he says in the 17th chapter, in verse 9, he says, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Think of that portion. "And I am glorified in them." This is why we need to be reminded over and over again that we have something. We own something that will give us everlasting life. So we need to be a light unto the world in everything that we do and everything that we say, so that Christ could be glorified. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost." In the 14th verse it says, "And I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest taken them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world." So that is our purpose. Our purpose in life is to reach the shores of heaven. Our purpose is not that we would accumulate things or anything that is of this world. But the greatest reward that we can own is that we would keep this little faith that we have and return it back to who we received it from, back home, home to heaven. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them in the fire, and they are burned." We have, and many of us have experienced in our homes, in our localities, wherever we are, wherever we live. And also here in this congregation, we have realized or we have seen that some have left. They have removed themselves from God's kingdom. The branch that they once were supporting us when we needed help, that branch is no longer there because God has cut that branch away and is not of help. They cannot assist us on our walk, on our journey toward heaven. They did not produce any fruit. So, and God can see which fruit, which ones are not producing fruit. They are not dependent on the source of nutrition for themselves that comes from the stem, from the trunk of that tree. And that's what this portion tells us. It explains where our strength to believe comes from. It comes from that vine tree, and it reaches out to those branches. It comes from God. He says that without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing to attain eternal life, because he is the author and the finisher of faith. Without him, we would be lost. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so that ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Here we hear the word abide many times. And although I know the general thought of the word abide, I did have to look it up to see exactly what it means. And it says to accept without hesitation, or to continue to bear something patiently. And when I read that portion, I thought, there are, throughout the course of our lives, there will be times when it is extremely difficult and even sorrowful. Has it always been easy to accept your lot in life? Maybe you have a big change that is going on in your life. Uncertainty for future can certainly cause us to doubt. But one thing we do know is that God knows exactly what is in store for you. If you are battling health-related things, and you wonder what the future will bring you, we don't know. And many times it is good. Imagine that God has shielded us so much that we don't know what we will have to go through before our life is done here. There are many that would say that it is a great blessing that we did not know everything that would happen later on in our lives. So God has shielded us from that because He knows that it is good for us to not know those things. But that which is in our future, God does know. He is not caught off guard when something happens all of a sudden. God knows, and He is prepared. He is prepared to keep you in God's kingdom when this is where you want to be. He will not push you out, but His hands will continue to reach out and to find those who are lost and keep us that are in God's kingdom in this precious kingdom. When something has happened, or when God has allowed something sorrowful to happen, it does seem, especially at that time, that God is far away, or that He has forgotten. He has forgotten me. But Scriptures tell us that God is everywhere. So even at that time, God is there. And God sends angels to those who are in need, those who are desperately seeking for Him. You brothers and sisters that are here, you can be these angels unto everyone that needs help. This is how God does His work this day. He sends His own to help His own. We do not need to fear for our future. And many times when we go to help, we can do nothing but to listen, to cry, and to take part in their trials and difficulties. But that is a great help. And I would ask anyone that have gone through such a time where you were questioning, that is, God, has God forgotten me? That you would have to say that God has remembered you, and He has remembered all of us. We are here today, and we can hear God's Word with our own ears to boot. God has been good to all of us. So our future as a child of God, it is bright and it is safe when God cares for us, when we are these branches in this vine tree. Every child of God has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God will not erase that name when you continue to believe. So this morning, dear brother, dear sister, you that feel that you are the greatest doubter of them all, maybe the enemy of souls has found you here at church. But yet the message of the gospel is offered unto you. Lift up your weary heart and believe all your sins, all your doubts, all your trespasses forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven. I certainly need to hear this for myself. Can I believe my many sins and doubts forgiven? Continue on this narrow way that leads to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.